August 9th. Talking about the Bible. So we'll kind of do a quick review. This is kind of part two of our study. The quick review of those who may not have been here last time, but also to get us back up and get our minds back on some of the things we talked about. As we talk about the 10 plagues, we began in Exodus chapter 1, excuse me, in the first section there. And the main point we wanted to impress there is that the hard labor that the Israelites were under. They were already under this hard labor under the Egyptians. That this new Pharaoh had arose that did not know Joseph. That they were getting a little scared of the numbers. The Israelites were growing and multiplying. They were worried about the numbers that they had. Worried that they would go help their enemies, possibly. Next part of chapter 1 set the stage for Moses' birth. You had that edict come through that all the male children that were born would be thrown into the Nile. And, of course, Moses was born. Chapter 2, the beginning of that, we see Moses born. And at 3 months, as the story goes, he's taken into Pharaoh's home as his mother puts him into the Nile there. Later on in chapter 2, we see Moses has grown, this small section in chapter 2, as he grows up in the house of Pharaoh's daughter. Beginning at verse 11 of chapter 2, we see Moses going to see his people. And after this event, he leaves and stays away until God appears to him. We noted that he was age of 40 when he had left Pharaoh's home to go do this, age of 40 when he went on and left that land as well. And we see 40 years later is when God appears to him in the burning bush. And we see that in chapter 3. Chapter 4, as we go on, God gives signs for Moses to show his brethren. Again, he's not seen them in 40 years, and he only saw them for a brief period of time when he was the age of 40. And of course, he kind of ran off from there. And so he's going to go back there and he asked the question, you know, how will they believe that I am who you say that I am, and I'm here to do this purpose? And of course, God says, you know, I'm the God of Abraham and so on. And you just tell them that I am that I am. And so he kind of gives his name to him there to Moses in chapter 3 and 4. He gets the signs from Moses to show his brethren about the rod turned to snake, the withered hand, and so forth. God also tells him that his brother Aaron will be his mouthpiece. Moses goes through all the excuses. I don't speak well, and so forth. And so God takes all his excuses and says, well, I'll do this for you. Now go and do what I directed you to do. And so he goes. Latter part of chapter 4, he appears. God tells Aaron to go out in verse 27 into the wilderness to meet Moses. They talk some. They go back to the elders there. And they talk to them, and our point was, they believe. They saw the signs. They heard what Aaron had to say after all this time, this 80 years, that or 40 years that Moses had been away. And people believe. They're still under the hard labor. Okay? That's one of the points we want to impress. Chapter 5. Moses first goes to Pharaoh. And this is where Pharaoh says, you know, you're wasting your time. You're wasting his people's time. He makes the work even harder. They can make their own bricks now. And these people who had just been seeing these signs that Moses presented, they no longer believe anymore. They're hard pressed against Moses. We saw at the end of chapter 5, even Moses' faith seemed to turn. As he turns to the Lord and says, oh Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. And you have not delivered your people at all. Even though God had already told him, he's going to harden his heart. He's not going to listen to you. I'm going to do these great signs. A mighty hand is going to deliver you. But these things must happen first. As we know in chapter 5, again, the work gets harder. Some time passes. And in chapter 6, we notice the first 13 verses that the people no longer believe. They won't listen to Moses now. And again, this sets the stage for the plagues, which, as we mentioned, were just as much, if not more so, for the children of Israel. So they could do what? They can believe in this God who's going to deliver them. And it's going to be such an impression upon them that they're going to tell that story to their kids and so forth on down the line. They've really got to see the power of this God because they've been oppressed for so many years. And their will has been kind of struck down. We note in chapter 7, God tells Moses that you're going to be like God to Pharaoh, and Aaron's going to be like the prophet, your prophet. Moses' age is given there. He's 80 years old. Aaron's 83. He's 3 years older than his brother. We noted that these signs of the snake, that was the rod that was turned to the snake, that the magicians could duplicate this miracle by their trickery. We saw that Moses leaves to return the next day. Second part of chapter 7, we talked about how there's a different location, but this was performed outside by the Nile River. They're by the banks of the Nile. It's beginning of chapter 7 and verse 14. We saw that all the water out of the Nile, even all the water that was out of the Nile, was in all the baskets and so forth, was affected by this miracle. The magicians, we saw, also could reproduce this miracle. And for 7 full days passed before Moses comes again. Now, whether this blood remained, I don't know. We're not told it was removed. We even notice that Pharaoh never asks for this plague to be removed. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. This one, he never asked for it. Rather, we're told, after seeing his magicians can duplicate this water to blood, that he was very unimpressed and he walks away. But he never asked for it to be removed. We did note that they did find water by digging outside around the ground around the Nile. Chapter 8 starts. Again, the magicians could reproduce it. And this was the second plague of the frogs. The magicians could reproduce this. But we see something next that's a little bit different out of Pharaoh. Beginning in verse 8, Pharaoh pleads to have it removed. This plague is so much upon him and upon his people that he pleads for it to be removed. Moses forces him to choose the day. He says, I'll do this, but you choose the day that I'll do this. And Pharaoh says, do it tomorrow. And he did this so that Pharaoh would have no doubt that this is coming from God, from Moses' God. The next day the plague stops as it was requested. Pharaoh had said they could go, but then he changes his mind. The next part of chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. This is a third plague here. This is the plague of gnats. We noted that this appears to be an unannounced plague. The first of three plagues that will be, or appear to be unannounced to Pharaoh. The magicians, this is the first one that magicians could not reproduce. In fact, they even said this is the finger of God. So this is, as they get more severe in their plagues. Chapter 8, beginning at verse 20. This is the fourth plague, begins with the flies. Again, this is done down by the water, by the Nile. They meet Pharaoh down by the water early in the morning. This is the first time, the first plague, that God shelters the children of Israel from the plagues. He separates them. These plagues will not affect the children of Israel. But again, whose benefit is this for? It's to shelter them, yes, but it's also for the children of Israel's benefit to see, hey, our God is protecting us. These plagues are coming. Everyone's affected, but now we're not affected by this. He's inflicting this stuff upon Pharaoh. But it's also for Pharaoh's benefit to see this God is protecting his own people. Verse 25 of chapter 8. Second part of that, Pharaoh offers to let them go. But he says, you can go, but not 3 days away. That's too far. You go somewhere shorter. But eventually, of course, he refuses to let them go. And that gets us caught up with tonight's lesson. Questions or comments about that last part? Begin at chapter 9, in verse 1. This is the fifth plague. This is going to be the livestock affected. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and to say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will fall with a very severe plague upon your livestock that are in the field, the horses and the donkeys, the camels, the herds, and the flocks. But the Lord will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, not the people, but the livestock here, so that nothing of all that belongs to the people of Israel shall die. And the Lord set a time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. Again, so he'll know that this is specific, that comes from this God. And the next day, the Lord did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Note again, Moses gives the day. He says, tomorrow this will happen, and that's when it happens. Notice that Pharaoh sends to confirm that the Hebrews were unaffected. Okay. Also note here, did he ask it to be removed? Well, the effects had already been done. Right? They'd already died. Verse 8. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take handfuls of soot and from the kiln and let Moses throw them in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. Notice this is the second unannounced one. Do this in the sight of Pharaoh, but he doesn't go to him. Just do it in the sight of Pharaoh. Verse 9, it shall become fine dust over all the land of Egypt and become boils, breaking out in the sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So they took soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh. And Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils, breaking out in sores on man and beast. And magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. For the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them as the Lord had spoken to Moses. So again, unannounced, but done in Pharaoh's sight. And again, note, it's not asked to be taken away. So, how long did those boils remain? We don't know. They could remain for some time. Could remain till I always kind of assume that each plague ran its course until the next plague started. We know the course, case of the frogs, that's what happened because the frogs were removed. We were told that. But how long did they remain with these sores? Could have been to the next plague. Don't know.
The first 7 days, after 7 days, that's when I set the bank to go. Was it consecutive or right?
Right. But even with that, it said 7 days until he returned to them. Was the blood turned back? Was the water turned back? I don't know. That's when he returned to him. That we kind of logically kind of think it's that. But remember, they dug around there for the wells of water and so forth. But again, these plagues could have lasted a little longer, especially since he didn't ask for them to be removed.
I would have thought too, you know, study the magnitude of what these plagues were. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. The magicians can make water turn red. Can they make every water source in the whole world, country go blood? You know, that's a whole different thing.
And as far as we know, Pharaoh didn't check on that. He just saw that they could turn water red with their trickery. So, and of course, with that one, he just walked away unimpressed. But who knows on that? Keep in mind too, and I didn't go over this, but a lot of these plagues are, you know, Egyptians are famous for what? They had many gods. Okay, and so a lot of these plagues were God was attacking their gods, kind of saying, "I have control over what you believe in." But we haven't really discussed that much. Chapter 9. I'm sorry. Loose to the borders. Okay, chapter 10. Let's cover one more thing on chapter 9, verse 22. Well, I left something off here. Hang on a second. I just finished with what? Chapter 9?
We're ready for
verse 13.
Yes, sir.
Okay, we'll begin verse 13. I'm sorry. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you yourself, and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, and you have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow, again he names the time, I will cause very heavy hail to fall, such as never been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore, send, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter, for every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. That whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses, but whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field. This is announced early in the morning. He lets him know that God himself had raised this Pharaoh up. Question, this is more of a thought question. What if God had put in place, said this particular Pharaoh, a Pharaoh who had a softer heart? You know, God's in control of all things, controls governments, their time frames, their limits, how far their kingdoms extend and so forth. And here God's telling this Pharaoh, basically, I've set you up for this. I've raised you up for this. What if God had chosen someone who was a little easier, who would let them go earlier? See, again, the purpose of these plagues was for who? Ultimately, the children of Israel. And so God's wisdom to put this particular Pharaoh in power at this time and to use his hardness of heart to kind of announce himself and teach his children about his ways and his power. We see, again, the providence of God to have this particular man in place at this particular time against the Israelites could do what? Believe. Warning is given that if it will happen tomorrow, and this is to give any Egyptian who at this point believe time to prepare. Hey, I've seen these. I've had these warnings before. They've happened every time. They're getting worse and worse. I believe this is going to happen. I'm going to take care of my livestock and my slaves. So it gives God's gives them opportunity to take care of themselves. And this is the first plague with possible death for humans. Okay, if you're caught outside, you're going to be, this hell's going to kill you. So this is getting, again, more severe. We already seen the livestock killed. Now it's a possibility for some humans to die. Verse 22. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, so that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and beast, every plant of the field in the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire rain down to the earth. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. And there was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very heavy hail, such as never been seen in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck down everything that was in the field in all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the hail struck down every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I and my people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of God's thunder and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I'll stretch out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. The flax and the barley were struck down, for the barley was in the ear and the flax was in the bud. But the wheat and the emmer were not struck down, for they are late in coming up. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and stretched out his hands to the Lord. And the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain no longer poured upon the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again, hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. This is the first time that Pharaoh finally admits wrongdoing. All right, you got me. I've sinned. Me and my people have sinned. He offers again to let them go for good. You notice that? This wouldn't go and do your worship. This was go and leave. I'll let you go. Moses again sets a time. After he leaves, it will stop. And again, Pharaoh recants. Says they can't go. Chapter 10. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your grandson how I have dealt harshly with the Egyptians, and what signs I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. Again, Moses is sent to Pharaoh here, notes that these things were done so that what? that can be told to future generations. This is why we're doing this. This is why this has happened. This is why my hand is upon this Pharaoh at this particular time.
Greg, even when you look at that, go back to chapter 9, verse 16, it talks about my name being declared to all the earth. It was to extend beyond those of Egypt and those children of Israel there. Yeah. When you look at Joshua chapter 2, Rahab makes reference to this. So it was to extend beyond just these borders.
Yeah.
And Israel and Egypt. That was all the world.
And as we even saw there, when the hell's about to come for any Egyptians who believe at that point, even. So that process started. You can imagine these plagues and just being there and seeing it. This is a big deal. And this is going to be well known. Okay. Verse 3. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your country, and they shall cover the face of the land, so no one can see the land. And they shall eat what is left to you after the hail. And they shall eat every tree of yours that grows in the field. And they shall fill your houses and the houses of all your servants, of all the Egyptians, as neither your fathers nor your grandfathers have seen, from the day they came on this earth to this day." And then he turned and he went out from Pharaoh. So this warning comes about these locusts. He asks Pharaoh here, how much longer are you going to defy God? How much longer are you going to do this? How many more times is it going to take? How much these bad events have to happen? And again, he warns of another plague the next day and leaves. Verse 7. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this man be a snare to us?" And his servants are talking to Pharaoh. "Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet understand that Egypt is ruined?" So Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. These plagues haven't happened yet. Or this plague hasn't happened yet. And he said to them, "Go serve the Lord your God." But which ones are to go? Moses says, "We will go with our young and our old. We will go with our sons and daughters, with our flocks and herds, for we must hold a feast to the Lord." But he said to them, "The Lord be with you. If ever I let you go and your little ones go, look, you have some evil purpose in mind. No, go, the men among you, and serve the Lord, for that is what you were asking." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So again, his people had come to him, says, "Let them go," brings them back in. Now, even as we see here, Pharaoh's servants are tired of this, and they fear what this next plague can be. And again, they ask Pharaoh to let them go. Moses is called back in, we saw in the reading. And Pharaoh again wants to know, this time, who all is involved in this worship? Who all is, what's your plans? Who all has to go? What's the minimum, basically, is what he's saying. What's the minimum? And Moses basically says, "Well, all of us, we're all going. All that we have in us." And of course, Pharaoh says, "Only the men can go." And he sends Moses out. Verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, so that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every plant in the land, all that the hail has left." And so Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day, all that night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts. The locusts came up over all the land of Egypt and settled on the whole country of Egypt, such a dense swarm of locusts as had never been seen before, nor will ever be again. They covered the face of the whole land, so that the land was darkened, and they ate all the plants in the land, all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. Not a green thing remained, neither tree nor plant of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh hastily called Moses and Aaron and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God." And he adds, "and against you. Now therefore forgive my sin. Please only this once, and plead with the Lord your God only to remove this death from me." So he went out from Pharaoh and pleaded with the Lord. And the Lord turned the wind into a very strong west wind, which lifted the locusts, drove them into the Red Sea. Not a single locust was left in all the country of Egypt, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go. We see here God using his creation. God created all things. He used his creation to bring this swarm of locusts. In other words, in this case, he used weather. The weather he created to bring this swarm of locusts. All is destroyed of the green plants that was left. And this is Pharaoh for the second time admits to his sins. This time he says, though, I sinned against your God and I sinned against you. So he's added that in this time. So against God and the Hebrews themselves. He also asks for Moses to forgive him. But he adds only this once. Now, we weren't there to hear. You know how sometimes you say something and the way it's said means the meaning behind it. So, did he mean only this once, as in please, only this once, or more defiantly, only this once? We don't know. But he does add only this once, forgive me. We see an opposite wind gets rid of the locusts. And of course, Pharaoh recants again. Verse 21. And then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, a darkness to be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Did y'all notice anything? It was not announced, was it? This happens. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Then Pharaoh called Moses and said, go serve the Lord. Your little ones also may go with you. Only let your flocks and your herds remain behind. But Moses said, you must also let us have sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also must go with us. Not a hoof shall stand left behind or be left behind. For we must take of them to serve the Lord our God. And we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Take care never to see my face again. For on the day that you see my face, you shall die. And Moses says, as you say, I will not see your face again. And we'll come back to that, because we're missing one plague, right? This one was unannounced. Again, this is the third of the unannounced plagues. Darkness could be felt. Lasted 3 days. Again, Israel's not affected. Pharaoh says that they can go. He includes the children, but the animals cannot go. Pharaoh says no, and this time again, he threatens Moses with death if he ever sees him again. Exodus chapter 11. The Lord said to Moses, yet one plague more I will bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. When he lets you go, he will drive you away completely. Speak now in the hearing of the people that they ask. Every man of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor for silver and gold jewelry. We mentioned yesterday they didn't steal. They asked. And they had such a revere for God this time that they let him have. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, verse 3. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, in the sight of the people. Again, Moses is told to have people collect spoils from the Egyptians by asking, not stealing. And they would because of the past plagues. Verse 4. So Moses said, thus says the Lord. Now keep in mind, let's go back to verse chapter 10 real quick. Last thing Pharaoh says, take care that you don't see my face again. You're going to die. Then we have this little space in the beginning of chapter 11. And now we're starting in verse 4. So Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out in the midst of Egypt. Now, it doesn't tell who he's speaking to yet. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there never been, nor ever will be again. But not a dog shall growl against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, you and all your people who follow you. And after that, I will go out. And he went out from who? Pharaoh, in hot anger. How come he's not dead? We'll talk about that in a minute. So he leaves angry. Moses leaves angry. The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go out of his land. That's through the first nine. Again, this seems out of place. Pharaoh is just threatening Moses' life if he ever sees him again. Right? We saw that. So this was perhaps said along with the last one. Okay, sometimes a little time frame gets out. So this part we just read in chapter 10, Pharaoh says, get out. If you ever see my face again, I'm going to kill you. Most likely Moses then went through this little piece. All right, I'll go, but this is what's going to happen next. Because the ninth plague has already happened, right? So he kind of tells them before this. Notice it does not say to go back to Pharaoh, yet he's obviously talking to Pharaoh there at the end. Okay? He warns of a firstborn death. Even says that after this, your own people will ask us to leave personally. Moses, we see, leaves angry. Pharaoh does not allow them to go. Because that tenth plague doesn't happen yet. Chapter 12, we won't go over. That's the Passover where it's instituted there, talked about. If you go down to verse 29, chapter 12, we'll finish. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of the livestock. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where someone was not dead. And he summoned Moses and Aaron by night and said, up, go out from among my people, both you and the people of Israel, and go. Serve the Lord as you have said. Take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. So again, at midnight, you have the death of the firstborn. After this final plague, Pharaoh finally lets them go. Questions?